Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of The Weekend Is Dead. It's your Monday morning. What is this, April 3rd, I guess? And I don't know if you're sipping coffee like I am to try to stay awake, but I didn't sleep well last night. Not exclusively because of how bad WrestleMania was. Mostly because I had, you know, like bad gas and indigestion because I ate nothing but garbage during the show, and it all tasted so good. Nonetheless, though, if you want to reach out and contact me during the show with any questions or comments you may have, you can find me on Twitter at @PCN_dirt. I can pull those up during the show because I have one of these things called a tablet over here that can actually display what they call Twitter. Then on the other hand, you can also go to youtube.com/dirtmound, find the live feed, and you can comment there as well. If you follow me on Twitter or go to the Pop Culture Network page, that new Toy Smell page, something like that on Facebook, you can also find the link to the YouTube show because we are broadcasting this live, although it does get indexed later as an audio-only show on our podcast site, which you can find on Podbean as well as through iTunes. For some reason, the audio show does better with than the video show, even though I do like these nice little thumbnail things up here, like a news broadcast type thing. I guess I just have the voice for radio and the face to match, which, come on, guys, give me a chance. But today, before I jump into WrestleMania and talk about that whole debacle, I did want to do something else a little different first. I thought it might be fun to talk about something that I found the other day in the store as I was walking around, and that is Madballs. Yes, as a matter of fact, Madballs are back in these little blind bag packages. They're smaller, a lot smaller. Say maybe about the size of a ping pong ball, maybe a little smaller than that. They are blind bag. They are from American Greetings, of all places. And I bought four of these. They were, I think, $2.99 a piece at Toys R Us, so I grabbed some of these. And even though they're blind bagged, I noticed they had numbers stamped into the foil. So hopefully those numbers will give away what's inside, like with the Minecraft minifigures. Because the Minecraft minifigures, even though they are, you know, hidden, you can't see what they are, they have numbers stamped in them so you can follow them. So let's see, this one is number 4. This one is number 6. This is number 1. And this is number 12. So I don't know if anyone has actually compiled all the numbers on these or not. But if not, and you want to know what some of the numbers are, there you go. I believe by looking at the number that is stamped here at the bottom of the package, you can actually figure out which one you have ahead of time. So I'm going to switch over, let's see, this top camera. You know, actually, no, let's just switch over to the other camera completely. There we are. Hey, guys, how's it going? You can see my hand. Hi. So we're going to take this Madball here. This is number 1 out of the set here. It says that there are 13 altogether. And actually, what I really hope to find is this guy right here, this green guy, Slobulus. He's the one I had as a kid. So he's the one I would really like to have. Even though some of the other ones are a little more iconic and more well-known for the brand, that's the guy I had. That's the one I'm hoping to find here. So hopefully we can get that. So rip open our foil pack here. And we got, ooh, the guy with the brains hanging out, Skull Face. Get a good look at him. Lights are kind of washing him out a bit. But you can see he's got the Skull Face there. And his brains hanging out in the back. That's pretty cool. I mean, I like that guy too. It's squishy. It's foamy. Not like the original Madballs that were rubber bouncy balls. These are marshmallowy squish toys. Almost like a stress ball. Have you ever had a stress ball type thing? It's that. Or when you donate blood, they give you that thing to squeeze as blood pumps out of you. So there's that guy. All right, not too bad. All right, this is number 4 in our blind bag pack. Number 4 is the mummy guy. Mummy guy is, what's his name? Dust Brain. So we got Dust Brain here. And you can see he's got something. Oh, there's like a beetle crawling on the back there. And they didn't paint the shell, just this little part of the beetle guy, unless he's supposed to be underneath the wrapping of the mummy. I'm not sure there, but all right. So we got a drooling mummy guy. That's kind of cool. All right. Number six in our blind bag numbering. Pull out. Oh, the bug dude. What is this guy's name? I remember seeing him on the back of the package, Buzz Off. I don't remember him as being part of the original set. I don't think he is. I think he's a later addition, because part of it is he's not the same shape. And all right, Twitter, we'll get to YouTube here in a minute. It's got an X on one eye and not on the other. That's weird. But not the ball shape, which is a little disappointing that he's not more of the rounded shape. I mean, obviously, like this guy, you can see the sculpted eyebrows kind of change the shape a little bit, but still more or less that. This just seems to bug out a little more. All right, number 12 here. Our last mad ball to open. And our last mad ball here today is Oculus Orbus. So the giant tongue sticking out eyeball guy. And I recognize the look of this guy, although I remember he was a little different. This is a much more cartoony sculpt of the character, but nonetheless. All right. So that's all that was there. Let's switch back over to yes, I use a trackball. Did you guys not know that? There it is. All right, switch back over here. So there you go. That is the Madball set. So the fun little things, like I said, they were a couple bucks a piece, and I just grabbed some. But because they're numbered, hopefully you can track down the ones you actually want. I'll have to see if somebody else got some of these. They also have numbers stamped on the bottom here. I'm wondering if those mean anything. 3436 VPO. No, it's the same number stamped on all of them. So that must be like a production run code or something like that. But nonetheless, not bad. Not bad little toys. So there you go. Mad Balls are back for anybody who wants to get a handful of those. All right, so enough with the Mad Balls. Let's talk about the real news, the thing you guys came here for. Oh boy, this is going to be fun. This is going to be so much cringe, I think, is where this is going to end up. Let's see. Desktop, app windows. Let's find our photo viewer. There we go. WrestleMania 33 in the books. And I'm disappointed. I am disappointed. Not the greatest show on earth, not the spectacle it once was, not the culmination of feuds like it had been in the past. And look, I get it that there were situations beyond WWE's control. You know, Undertaker had hip surgery not that long ago. Goldberg was never supposed to actually last until WrestleMania. He was just supposed to have the one match with Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series because of the 2K17 video game. So he wasn't originally in the plans anyway, and they added him in, and he's old, and he even did an interview the other day saying that he's miserable from having to work out so much and try to do the cardio and conditioning. So I get it that there were things that they had to deal with that they weren't, you know, planning for. They weren't entirely ready for. Having said that, though, when you've got as much talent as they have, to not bring up more people from NXT to try to fill some of these holes, or to not work some of the storylines alternatively, and we can talk about that as we go through the show, just a lot of it seemed really down. It seemed like a bummer. Now, Undertaker retiring 2 years too late, to be quite honest, but it finally happened. That was a big moment. It ended the show. I'm fine with that going on as the main event over any of the title belt situations. Normally, your title matches are always going to be the end, and this time it was not. And I'm okay because of his retirement, that being the end. And in fact, there was a photo that came out. If I can spot it real quick. Is that this one? Yeah. Here, if you look at this photo, you can see this is the ring after the show. And all the people have left. They're folding up chairs. They're tearing down the set pieces. they're done for the night. And if we zoom in here, you can see right there in the middle of the ring, they still have Undertaker's hat and coat and gloves still sitting in the ring untouched. They let those sit for a long time. Those were basically left there until they actually had no choice left but to take them down because they were tearing down the ring. So there was some respect, you know, given to the man for everything he had done. The set, though, I find the set very interesting. We'll get into matches. Don't worry. We'll get into the matches. But one of the things I find interesting about this set is that they build the show as the ultimate thrill ride. It's set in Orlando. They did one in Orlando a few years ago, and they did more of like a, you know, just a Florida-type theme and palm trees and whatever. And this, they did the ultimate thrill ride because you got the theme parks. You've got Universal Studios. You've got Walt Disney World. You've got SeaWorld. You've got Bible World, I think, has a thing down there. So everybody's got a theme park down in the Orlando metropolitan area. And this set, if you look at it, you've got some palm trees with the red trunks. Let's see here. I've got the camera right here. So on this side, you've got these palm trees with the red trunks over here. And then you've got this roller coaster over on this side. And then right here in the middle, you've got WrestleMania written on that ball. Now, if you really think about it, you've got WrestleMania on the globe written going across, almost like Universal Studios, the Universal Studios logo. And in fact, if you go to Universal Studios, right out front, they've got the Universal Studios logo in the little pond. You can get your picture taken in front of. And in fact, TNA, for several years, were filming down in the Universal area, and they left. They left when they went to travel to do shows around the world because they thought they were big enough that they could go out and do that. Didn't really take off. And WWE was actually going to open a Hall of Fame, a physical Hall of Fame museum on the Universal Boardwalk. They were actually going to open a location there where you could go in and, you know, you'd pay your $20 or whatever, and you could walk around and see all the memorabilia. You could see all the people inducted into the Hall of Fame. You could see, you know, Ric Flair's robes, and you could see Andre the Giant's boots, Macho Man's cowboy hat, you know, all this type of stuff that was going to be in there, a little museum. And so you've got the roller coaster, Universal Studios. You've got the Islands of Adventure palm trees. You've got the Universal globe in the middle. No Hall of Fame. Didn't happen. For whatever reason, they backed out. I don't know if it's because TNA went back down into the area to do some tapings and stuff, and they just decided they didn't want to be affiliated if TNA was going to be able to still record shows there at some point in the future on a soundstage. I don't know. I don't know exactly. But it's just funny that the plans were in motion for such a long time that you have this stage that looks like the Universal Studios theme park, basically, and no follow through as far as that goes. So a little piece of trivia for you there. All right, let's get into the actual show, which started out with Neville, of all people. We had the pre-show kickoff thing that was free online. The second hour of, I believe, was on USA. I don't think the first hour was. Maybe they were both. I'm not 100% sure. But it started with the Cruiserweight Championship match, Neville versus Austin Aries, which, by the way, was one of the best matches of the night. The very first match, the one they gave away for free, the one that a lot of people honestly didn't see. There were a lot of people coming into the arena still at this point. There were a lot of people just not watching the pre-show. They were waiting until 6 p.m. when it actually kicked off, or 7 p.m. depending on your time zone, wherever you're at, 2 in the morning if you're on the other side of the world. But a lot of people just didn't watch this match, which is a shame because this was one of the best ones. And had it been some other venue, or had it been later on in the card, people would have gone nuts for this match. I don't know if it was because they had to change the canvas and the ropes, and they just didn't want to mess with that in the middle of the show. So they just decided to do that first, and then they could swap them out. I would have been fine if they hadn't changed the ropes. It's WrestleMania. Just make it be the WrestleMania ring. It doesn't have to be the Live 205 ring. You know, it doesn't have to be purple just because you're doing those guys. Nonetheless, that's what they did. They kicked off the show with it, and it was better than a lot of the other stuff we got, including the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which was won by Mojo Rawley. And this guy, who I'm told is an American gridiron football player, which I had no idea who this guy was. If there wasn't someone sitting in the room with me who knew who he was, I would have had no clue. And the commentary, they were like, oh, that's Rob Gronkowski or whatever his name is. And I don't know who that is. I don't know, you know, what team he plays for. I have no idea on this guy. So anyway, apparently he's the Gronk. There are people wearing Gronk t-shirts right around him because of his last name. It came down to the dude from NXT who looks like me, the big fat guy, except he had long hair, wearing the barbarian kilt thing with the trimmed chest hair and back hair. Killian, I don't remember. Anyway, it came down to him and Jinder Mahal and Mojo Rawley. And Jinder Mahal, buddy, your chair is loud when it creaks. Jinder Mahal spit water in Gronk's face, and so Gronk went to climb the rail, and this security guard ran over and was like pushing him back. Like, she was like, you're not getting in this ring. Get back in there. She was trying to figure out why the other security guards weren't stopping him. She had to run all the way around the ring to get there. And you can see one of the production guys off to the side just kind of like reach up out of the corner and be like, it's okay. It's okay. Let him go. It's all right. The referees actually had to run over there and like separate her. And they're like, no, it's part of the show. It's okay. You know, let it go. And then Gronk was able to go in and spear Jinder Mahal. And they tossed out the other dudes. And Mojo Rawley won and celebrated with his buddy there in the ring, which I get it. It's Florida. It's hot. He was wearing a t-shirt over this that he took off. But I mean, really, this just looks like some dude from a trailer park in his shorts and wife beater shirt. Why not wear his jersey, right? I mean, if you're, well, okay, maybe you don't have the full support of the team to be there. They're not endorsing your appearance there, whatever. But I'm sure you've got some sort of like commemorative t-shirt or something you could wear that says your team or at least has your name on it. You in a football helmet, something. Nonetheless, the match itself, it's a battle royal. It's an over-the-top rope. It's a space filler. It was all the geeks that didn't make it into the actual show. It was just a bunch of dudes throwing light punches because there were too many people there. And then once they cleared a lot of them out, then they were just kind of tossing them around and doing the fake, like, oh, I'm going to throw them over. And the guy's like, no, you're not. And just killing time until they got to the big spots that they were putting in. So anyway, it was what it was. Mojo Rawley winning it is weird. He's not a big guy. He's not a tall guy. Really no connection with the idea of Andre the Giant. So I guess they've given up on the idea that it's going to be the next big guy. Now it's just a thing for geeks on the pre-show, which is kind of a shame for the legacy of Andre the Giant. But it is what it is. You're not going to be able to fix that in the long run. We had Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental Championship, which it was fine. I didn't hate this one as much as I thought I would. Dean Ambrose, I feel, is really floaty. His attacks don't have a lot of impact. He just doesn't have the same ring command presence like he had during the Shield run. I think it was once he went solo and he had like this different attitude that he had to go with, changed up his style a little bit. And he's a lot softer now, a lot lighter. It just doesn't feel as impactful when he's in the ring. Nonetheless, though, I thought he did fine. Baron Corbin, I don't really see a whole lot in, but the two of them had a match. It was a match. It was nothing more than a Raw match, though. Being that it was on WrestleMania, you would think it could have been better, but it was not. So it was what it was. It was fine. It's kind of sad for the Intercontinental Championship that it's kind of, you know, been reduced to where it was on the card and everything. But nonetheless, it was It was okay. It was not great. Middle of the road, nothing spectacular. Then we've got AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. And it was what it was. It was really just built around the idea of, hey, we're going to have Shane do some stunts. He's going to jump on stuff, and he's going to use the garbage can, and he's going to, you know, crazy bumps, whatever. They didn't do anything too outrageously crazy. They did the stuff that they were going to do, of course, jumping on the announce table, doing the coast-to-coast, all of that type of stuff, which they did. And for what it was with that, fine. AJ Styles, though, is a much better talent than this. He deserves a much better match than this. Shane McMahon, not a wrestler. He should only be involved in big storyline matches. And the only storyline that they had for this match was the fact that AJ Styles was mad that as the former champion, he didn't have a match at WrestleMania, which is actually a good and valid point. When you're the guy who's the face of the company, and they do the biggest show of the year, and you've got no place because you lost the title, you know, like 2 months ago, or whatever, and you know, suddenly they just don't have a spot for you. That's just really bad booking and a bad storyline on behalf of WWE. So shoved in the match with Shane. They did the stunts. Again, nothing spectacular. I thought Shane was going to, you know, climb up the pillars in the corners of the ring or do something like that. Never happened. So it wasn't as exciting as it could have been. But it did get the crowd up when they got in some of the stunts and the moves. They got some pops. So, again, middle of the road match, maybe a tad higher because of the stunts involved. Would have been fine as a you know, mid-card pay-per-view match, maybe even a pre-main on a, you know, Elimination Chamber pay-per-view or something like that, but not for, you know, really this place for AJ Styles, of all people. All right, Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho for the United States Championship. This was fine, maybe a tad above fine. But again, nothing spectacular, nothing great. The idea really of the match is that the two had been friends for so long. They knew each other's moves. They were going to be able to counter everything. When Owens put Jericho into the Walls of Jericho, for instance, you know, people really marked out for that. And that was kind of a fun moment in the middle of the match. But again, it just didn't feel like a high caliber match. It didn't feel like a WrestleMania match. It was fine. It was a decent match, you know? But again, it felt like it could have been a Raw main event match. It just wasn't that spectacular or special. And they didn't really bring anything else into it. You know, they've already done so much in the buildup with hitting, you know, taking the metal clipboard case and smacking each other with it and whatever, that it just didn't, they didn't leave those opportunities for this match. So as this match, as a what's supposed to be a blow off to their feud, just, you know, didn't really feel like a blow off. It just felt like the first step, and probably it's going to continue through SummerSlam, would be my guess. So they didn't do a whole lot with it, and it wasn't all that great. We had the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match for the Raw Women's Championship. Bayley retained her title. Nia Jax, I think she should have won, to be quite honest, but she did not. They did the thing where all three piled up on her so she couldn't kick out of it, and she was eliminated. I'm pretty sure Sasha had hurt her knee, and it looked, you know, someone I was watching with looked at it and said, oh, it looks like she's got a knee brace on underneath the knee pad on that her left knee, the white boot. If you look, it looks like there was a knee brace under there. Her leg was hurt. So maybe they didn't want her, you know, to do to win because she won't be able to follow it up, but not do any crazy stunts. She did some stuff off the rope. But if you're wearing a knee brace, you know, if you remember Stone Cold, he put on two knee braces and he wrestled, you know, for like three more years wearing those knee braces. So it's not like it stops you from being able to do anything or being, you know, entirely mobile or stopping you from doing top rope moves or anything like that. But it just, you know, seemed like she held back a little bit. Bayley, I'm just not a fan of Bayley. I'm just not. Her gimmick, her character is just an indie wrestling fan. Everything about her just screams indie wrestling show. You know, I mean, I don't know. You may like it. You may not. It is what it is. Just not for me. So anyway, that to me was also a disappointment in the match. Okay, now this is the one I will admit I was wrong. All right. There was a three-way ladder match that turned into a four-way ladder match with the return of the Hardys. And I had said I didn't think the Hardys were coming back because, quite simply, the Hardys are in a lawsuit situation with TNA. TNA is saying you can't use the broken and deleted stuff. You know, that is a storyline owned by us. The characters are owned by us. You can't do Brother Neo. You know, you can't do all that kind of stuff. And so the Hardys still returned, though, to WWE to do this show. It was, Enzo, Cass, Anderson and Gallows, Sheamus and Cesaro, and then the Hardys, right. So, of course, it's a ladder match, perfect for the Hardys. This is another one that I think was actually a high point in the show. It was a great match. It was a return of the Hardys. If you go on WWE.com, they did an interview after the show, which you can watch on there, and it looked really like a hybrid mix type thing. Between the Hardy Boys and the broken Matt Hardy storyline characters. They're not talking about Brother Neo, using those type of names, that type of stuff, but they're still using the catchphrases, but their mannerisms are still a little more kind of in between where they were in TNA and where they are in WWE. So they're old WWE characters, I guess I should say. So they did return. They were able to work something out. So they probably won't be sued by TNA because they're not using the names and they're not saying, you know, Broken Matt and Brother Neo, and they can't use that stuff. But they're still playing the characters as close as they can. It's very similar to Scott Hall when he went to WCW, and he's still using a little bit of that accent from Razor Ramon, even though not completely, but it was still there. You can still tell that he was more or less playing the same type of character. So it's just kind of the same thing here. So I liked it. I thought the match was great. It was what it was. It's a ladder match, so it's built around stunts. It's built around trying to climb the ladder. Wasn't as long as maybe I would have liked, but they did some interesting stuff in it. You can see in the shot here, Jeff Hardy did his whole top of the 20-foot ladder jump off thing. So all of that was in there. The key stuff you expect the Hardys to bring to a ladder match. How long they'll last, I don't know. How long until WWE realizes they have no idea what to do with these guys because they are terrible at booking and writing. But nonetheless, this was one of the high points of the show. I'm glad to see him back. Oh my gosh. Miz and Maryse versus John Cena and Nikki Bella. You can see here the screenshot. All of these shots, by the way, are from WWE.com. I went to WWE.com and I'm using their photos because this is how WWE wants you to remember the matches, to remember WrestleMania. So the match, unimportant. Miz and Maryse, unimportant. What happened after the match, that's what they want you to remember. But the match itself, not a fan of The Miz, never been a fan of The Miz. I don't think he's a good wrestler. I don't think he's good on promos. People are like, oh, didn't you see that talking smack? Yeah, he yelled. That's not, you know, intensity is not necessarily means you're a good actor. It just means you can yell. So the match itself, I didn't really care about. Maryse did look very rusty. She was never that great as a women's wrestler anyway. She's in the ring with Nikki. Wasn't fantastic. Miz looked his usual kind of sloppy self, no big deal. But after the match, of course, John Cena proposed, and I don't know if the referee, you know, slipped him the ring so that he could give it to her. Maybe he grabbed it when he got the microphone. Otherwise, he gave her this sweaty, nasty ring that had been in his pants pocket, probably smelled a lot like testicles, would not be the nicest thing you'd want to give someone you're pledging your life to. I love you. Take something that smells like my crotch. So probably, you know, hand it off to him. But still, you're all sweaty. You're nasty. You're in front of probably what was legitimately 63, 64,000 people. I think they announced it as 75, which is a total fake number. Nonetheless, still, I don't care. Great. Get married. Be done with the show. Be done with wrestling. Retire. Just take Miz with you so I don't have to ever watch him on TV again either. But anyway, nonetheless, we've got Seth Rollins versus Triple H in the non-sanctioned match. This was one of those last-minute changes. This match came about maybe 6 weeks ago because Seth Rollins got injured, couldn't do what they originally wanted him to do, which I don't remember what it was. So they came up with this whole thing with him and Triple H. And it was really – here's the problem with the match. Okay, so the match itself was fine, more or less. Again, nothing spectacular. Would have been fine as a B-level pay-per-view main event if they wanted to do that. Would have been pretty good as a Raw main event. So a decent match until the ending. Because the ending, the whole thing was worked around the fact that Seth had a knee injury. And it wasn't really that bad. You know, obviously, if he's not cleared to wrestle, they're not actually going to put him on the pay-per-view. So he was more or less fine, but that was the storyline. Triple H kept going for the knee, working the knee, working the knee. And so the match ends up, they set up a table on the outside. Triple H gets a sledgehammer. They tease these sledgehammer hits. Nothing ever happens. Stephanie grabs the sledgehammer away, throws it down so that Seth Rollins can't use it on Triple H. Seth Rollins ends up bumping into Triple H, knocks Stephanie off. Stephanie falls through the table and Triple H is looking at her and he's so mad. He's so angry watching his beautiful wife go through this table that Seth Rollins is able to sneak up behind him, throw him in a pedigree and win. So it's not that Seth Rollins beat Triple H. It's that Triple H was distracted by the fact that Stephanie got hurt. So it didn't help Seth Rollins. I mean, Seth Rollins gets the win, sure, but he gets the win because Triple H is distracted. Like, that is not the way you build up a guy, especially a guy who's kind of a fan favorite here. And they just wasted the opportunity in order to give Stephanie a bump, to get her out there in front of the crowd, to let Triple H do this terrible entrance where a bunch of chips. Like, was there a tie-in for the movie that I missed? Did they put, like, the logo for the movie Chips on the bottom or something? They had motorcycle police escort him down as he rode this giant motorized tricycle. It was just bad as far as the entrance goes. I always hate Triple H's pay-per-view entrances. These are just so cheesy and bad and pointless. And, like, here's the question. Is Paul Levesque ever going to ride this tricycle, like, down the Connecticut freeway? Is he riding this to WWE headquarters and parking it in his, you know, his named parking spot? You know, VP, talent relations, Paul Levesque with a, you know, reserved parking spot. Are you going to see this motorcycle there? No. It's probably been sold off on eBay already. I mean, what? He's got no use for it. Maybe he's the type of guy that's going to put it in a garage. Maybe he thinks it's the type of thing that's going to go in a WWE museum. Hey, remember that motorcycle I rode once on a pay-per-view? Woo, let's go look at that thing. I mean, they'll put it right next to Kurt Angle's scooter, Stone Cold's 4x4, and American Badass Undertaker motorcycle. They'll just have them all, you know, in a row. And you can go, ooh, two of those are interesting, one was funny, and then there's this thing that nobody cares about. Excuse me. All right. Next match up was the WWE Championship, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. The match itself was not great. I mean, I'll just straight up, it was not great. It was not good. 2 out of 5 at best, maybe with the match. Maybe 2.5 if you, I don't know. But it was not good. It was sloppy. They missed moves, botched a whole bunch of stuff. But the gimmick, and you can see, again, this is the WWE photograph. This is how WWE wants you to remember. The gimmick was Bray Wyatt would do that upside-down hanging thing, and they projected scary stuff onto the ring mat. So at one point, it was maggots crawling around, and they had a camera up top looking down on the ring, and you could see that they were projecting down onto the ring maggots crawling around, and then they had roaches or crickets crawling around, and then worms crawling around in dirt. Somehow, Bray Wyatt got these magical powers that he was able to use in this match, which did absolutely nothing. He didn't win. Randy Orton still beat him, so there was no point to it other than the AV guys got some new toys and they wanted to play with it, and they built the match around using this new projector that they have. Probably it's going to be one of those things where pay-per-views now, the guy will come down to the ring and they'll have his logo projected on the canvas, or maybe they'll do his entrance video projected on the canvas. You may start seeing that now. Now that they have this thing, they used it at WrestleMania, it works. So now they're going to try to find to work it in, you know, somewhere else as part of their, you know, presentation. But it really existed just to try out this projector. I mean, that's the whole point of this match, was that the AV guy got a new toy and he wanted to see if it worked. That was it. So, not a good match. Not a great time by any stretch of the imagination. We got Brock Lesnar defeating Goldberg to win that Universal Championship. Okay. All right. Let me get a sip of coffee here. It was fine. It was actually not bad. I was shocked by, again, how short it was for being a WrestleMania match, but knowing that short matches is the hallmark of the Goldberg run, plus the fact that he said he's old, he's 50, he's miserable, having to work out every day and trying to stay in shape and eat right, and he just really didn't like doing it. I'm guessing this is the end of Goldberg. You might see him tonight on Raw, but I don't think he's going to be sticking around. My assumption would be this was also the end of his career, which is, you know, fine. No big deal. The match was built around Brock Lesnar got in there quick, started doing the suplexes, the suplex city. Goldberg was then able to do his spear and jackhammer. It wasn't enough to take down Lesnar this time because Lesnar had gotten the suplexes in. So he gets in a whole bunch more suplexes and F5. I think he did multiple F5s, right? I don't remember. Anyway, nonetheless, the whole point of it was Goldberg got in there early, got in those suplexes, or Lesnar got in there early, got in those suplexes, so he was able to beat Goldberg. He was able to wear him down since it wasn't an impact from Goldberg right from the beginning, and that's how Brock Lesnar beat him. The storyline of it was fine. For what started at Survivor Series, went through Royal Rumble, came now to WrestleMania, fine with the arc, fine with the storyline. The fact that it was not a spear jackhammer, that's the end of the match. The one thing I did notice, though, Goldberg, people were like, oh, Goldberg only has those two moves. Actually, Goldberg had a third move. If you remember, he always used to do the gorilla press slam, where he would grab the guy and lift him up, and then you basically give him a little boop, toss in the air, and then step out from underneath him, and they fall down to the mat. And I thought for sure he was going to bring that out. I mean, he was talking about the working out, the staying in shape. He's probably working his arms back up, you know, to do that move. Didn't happen. So I'm guessing his strength just wasn't, you know, he just wasn't able to get to that point where he felt comfortable lifting up Brock Lesnar and doing that move. So kind of sucks, but at the same time, fine. The match was what it was. It was, this whole thing was to build Brock Lesnar back up. The fun match just started because of the 2K17 video game. Overall, fine with this. No big deal. Then we had the SmackDown match. I was not as fine with that one. This was the cool down match, the bathroom match, the popcorn match. They gave you one with Miz and Cena. That was the time to go use a toilet. Now there's this one right before the main event. They threw in the SmackDown women's match. Oh, and I want to add, I think it was right before Goldberg and Lesnar. No, it was before even that, wasn't it? It was right before Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt. They did the concert. It was already past 9 o'clock here, 10 o'clock, their time zone. And they decided that they were going to go ahead and do this Pitbull concert with, like, Bob Marley's, is that his grandson, his son? I don't know. With Flo Rida And it's just like, why even do it in the first place? Like, it really, it added nothing to the show. There were no storylines tied to it. Nobody, you know, it's not like they were doing the entrance music for somebody. Like, they were there to sing someone's theme song or something. They just decided, let's kill more time on a 6-hour show. Why not? Going like 6.5 almost, I think, when it was all said and done. So they threw this concert in there. They did a couple songs, you know, mashed together, whatever. All these guys came out. They had the women dancing in trench coats with no pants on. It was just, stop doing this, first of all. Just stop. If it's not like someone in the band is a best friend of one of the wrestlers and they're there to do the theme song. Like, you had Lemmy from, you had Motorhead. Did Triple H's song live. Fine, because they did Triple H's song. So they're there to do Triple H's song. Not a problem. Makes sense. It fits. To just throw Pitbull and Flo Rida out there because, I mean, is this what Vince listens to? Like, Vince is just like, oh, I love these guys. I want to have them on the show so they can sign my CD. You know, maybe he bought the cassette. I don't know what Vince listens to for music. I doubt he's buying digital off iTunes or Amazon MP3. So just a complete waste of time, completely pointless, that concert. So on that, -5 stars on that one. All right, so back to the SmackDown women's match. So you had Alexa Bliss, Natalya, Carmella, Becky Lynch, Mickey James, and Naomi threw herself in there at the last moment. Naomi was from the Orlando area. It was her hometown. WWE, for the longest time, if it was your hometown, you got embarrassed there. You lost. That was just their thing. I don't know why, but they would always do that because the hometown crowd was, oh, and they feel bad for you, I guess. I don't know, whatever. They let Naomi win. Now, I want to read off these names again. Alexa Bliss held the championship. She's nothing great. She's okay. She's a gymnast. She can do some moves, but she's not spectacular in the ring. I know a lot of guys really like watching her. She is not a great wrestler. Carmella, nothing. Natalya, excellent wrestler. She's a little boring, a little flat. She's the female Lance Storm, you know? You respect the wrestling technique, not a lot in the personality department. Fine, whatever. Becky Lynch, great talent, great character, charisma, could have won it, would have been happy. Mickey James, great talent, charisma, good character, could have won it. Even though she's older, this is a return thing. She was supposed to be heel, but she always smiles. She could have won it. I would have been fine with it. Naomi won. Naomi has, like, maybe this much more talent than Alicia Fox. That's how bad. And she's allowed to win the title. So the SmackDown Women's Championship really doesn't matter. I mean, it is not that big of a deal. And they threw this match in as just kind of the thing before the main event so that you could kind of come down after the last match with Goldberg and Lesnar. You know, have your break, catch your breath. You're not really going to cheer. You're not going to be excited, whatever. And then the main event happens, and you can be excited for it. So not a good match, and there you go. So our main event here, this was the one that capped it off. It was Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. Like I said earlier, probably 2 years too late. I have no problem with The Undertaker. You know, I'm not trying to put down The Undertaker. I'm not trying to take away from The Undertaker's career. But when he lost to Brock Lesnar, that really should have been the end of it. That should have just, you're done, you know. And that was the idea at the time. Was, you know, he changed it at the last minute because he thought it was going to be his last one. Came back, did another one last year, and then now he's back again. So this is technically his final. Which, I mean, great. I mean, people, you know, if they can get one more, you know, WrestleMania match out of him, you might as well do it if he's willing to. If nothing else, it's for the spectacle. But you could tell, you know, we'd heard recently that he'd had hip surgery not that long ago. He is older, pushing 50. In fact, is he actually 50 now? He might be actually 50 now. So when he did his entrance, you know, you were expecting something, you know, he wasn't going to walk down the 80 yards of ramp. I mean, if you look at this photograph, that is a very long ramp. That ramp was 80 yards long, 100 yards for a football field. So keep that in mind. So almost like walking down the entire length of a football field. It was long. Which, by the way, the women in the SmackDown match, they didn't even get to walk the full length. They would walk out and go maybe 30%, 50% down the ramp, and then they were hitting the music for the next one to come out because they wanted to rush them down because it took too long to come down that stupid ramp. But Undertaker, you know, we're trying to theorize, how is he going to come down to the ring? Because he's not going to walk that whole length. I mean, if he were to walk that whole 80-yard length, his entrance would have been longer than the entire show. So instead, they had a little bit of a cheat. They had a whole bunch of smoke come up in the middle of the ramp, and then he rose up from a platform underneath and then walked down to the ring. So he only had to go 40 yards or whatever. So not too bad, not as bad as it would have been. But again, not as spectacular. You didn't have 300 guys dressed as druids. You know, you didn't have people carrying them down there or whatever. I kind of expected druids carrying a coffin or having them up on, you know, like Macho King, you know, one of those elevated throne platforms, whatever. And you didn't get that. You didn't get anything all that special. So they had a match, and Roman Reigns is just not the guy. He just isn't. I know that's the gimmick. You know, he's the guy, but he is not. He botched moves with Undertaker. There were times, you know, Undertaker looked, you know, blown up a couple times. So did Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is much younger and in much better shape, and had a hard time keeping up with Undertaker. If you did not watch the show, or even if you did and maybe you missed it, there's an animated GIF out there. Please go find this. He was supposed to do a tombstone. He was supposed to grab Undertaker, and I forget exactly how it goes. Like, Undertaker went to grab him, and he reversed, and he went to flip him up to hit him with a tombstone pile driver, and that was supposed to be Roman Reigns using Undertaker's own move against him. And you can see he gets him, like, kind of hooked into it, And you see Undertaker actually like kicks, like jumps, like to give him the boost he needs to lift him up. And Undertaker starts to go up, and Roman can't do it. Like, he's just too blown up. He's too weak. He can't lift the guy up, and he drops Undertaker back down, and he tries to muscle him back up and get him back into position, and he can't do it. And so eventually he just spins him around and hits him with a Superman punch because he just can't pull off the tombstone. He can't pick the 50-year-old guy up and turn him over. And this is the guy that they want to be the face of the company. I don't know. I honestly, I just don't know. Stop it, Vince. Like, move on. So, I mean, overall, when you look at, there were 13 matches, including the ones in the kickoff pre-show, all the way through to the final match here with The Undertaker. And I'm just going to, you know, flip here. We'll talk about this in just a second. But 13 matches until we get to the end, and just not a great show. I mean, it just was not good overall. Joe Amato says, you picked that last match wrong. It was horrible. Okay, well, that last match. Are you talking to Undertaker Reigns? Because that's where I'm at. I don't know if you're watching on a delay. I don't know, Joe. Which match are you talking about? Are you talking about Goldberg? Goldberg and Lesnar? I said that one wasn't bad. Do you hate that one? I don't know. Maybe you're on a delay. But nonetheless, yes. Yes, what? Yes, what, Joe? I see your comments. I know you're trying to communicate here. Undertaker Roman. That last match was horrible. Right. I didn't say it was a good match. Okay. What I'm trying to say as far as giving that match credit is the fact that Undertaker, 50 years old, recently had hip surgery, was not in the best shape of his career. It was probably about as good a match as you were going to get from the fact that Roman is not a very good wrestler and Undertaker was not in the best shape. It was not a good match. I'm not saying that was a good match. I'm saying there were some good matches in the show. I thought that Goldberg-Lesnar was a good match. I thought the ladder match was a good match. I thought that Neville and Austin Aries was a good match. Undertaker-Roman was not a good match. Like I said, it's probably the best you're going to get from a guy who can't wrestle and a guy who is, you know, way past his prime, but it was not a good match. I'm not saying that that was good, but I'm saying the show overall, there were a couple good matches. For the Gamers is asking, what's your favorite match? You know, out of those three, that I said I liked, out of the three that I said I liked, I'd go all the way back to what they opened with, back to Neville, and Austin Aries. And, you know, we actually missed it. I missed it live. I had to go back and watch the replay of the kickoff show on the network before, you know, I'm going to cancel it now. If I cancel it now, it'll last until the end of the month. So I'll still have the network till the end of the month. So at least that's something. I can watch whatever they add, the WrestleMania specials that they want to add, and, you know, whatever kind of grows out of it. I'll watch that stuff till the end of this month, but this is going to be it because I don't care to watch the product that they do. The favorite is going to be Neville and Austin Aries. And honestly, that's the match. If they had put that on later in the show, everybody would have loved that and said it stole the show, but nobody saw it. It was the kickoff match. It was the first thing they did on the show. And again, probably just because they didn't want to change the ring ropes and canvas later on in the night, because they knew they had all that stuff to cram in there and they weren't going to have time to do that swap out. Joe adds, no, I meant your prediction you gave yesterday during Fans of Power, what would happen at the end of the Taker-Roman match. Oh, I see. If you missed the Fans of Power episode that we had yesterday, I mentioned in there that they didn't have anything for Braun Strowman, and they've been pushing Braun Strowman for a while. And I thought maybe what was going to happen is Braun Strowman was going to come out. It looked like we're going to have Roman Reigns versus a Braun Strowman throwdown in the middle of this match. He would turn, go full heel, attack Undertaker, and then you would have Roman Reigns winning as a full heel at the end of WrestleMania, which I thought would have been great. That would have been a great ending. And that's not what happened. They ended up not doing anything with Braun Strowman. They threw him into the Andre Battle Royal, and that was it. For a guy they've been pushing down our throats for a long time, he's big, but he's really got no talent there. But yeah, you're right, Joe. As far as what we actually got in that match with Roman, walking out there still this baby face. I mean, he hit Undertaker with chairs, but it was this no DQ situation or something. I don't know what the deal was, but they were just, you know, hitting each other with stuff. They were both, you know, gimmicking it up. So the fact that he hit him didn't make Roman a heel for doing that. Which honestly, that is such I don't even have the words for it. It was just such a bad ending because who's going to cheer Roman Reigns retiring Undertaker? I mean, the show ended. I mean, this image, this Undertaker retirement, this is the image that WWE puts out there as the thumbnail for the entire show. The entire WrestleMania boils down to the fact that it's Undertaker's last match. And that's how they're going to market it. When it comes out on Blu-ray and you find it at Best Buy and Walmart, the only places that are still going to carry it, it's going to be last match of the Undertaker, Undertaker's last ride, the dead man's last stand, something along those lines. And they keep shoving Roman Reigns down our throat as this baby face, and no one's going to look at the fact that Undertaker is retired and nonetheless retired in the main event at WrestleMania at the hands of Roman Reigns. No one's going to like Roman. Joe adds, they're trying to make us like Roman so much, but they're only going to hate him even more now. He will never be a fan favorite. Just the women will like him. He wrote just the woman will like him. So maybe there's one woman that Joe thinks likes Roman Reigns. Not women. It's not a female fan base that likes this big, tall, buff guy. One lady. Probably Missy Hyatt. But let's not go there. But yeah, I mean, Roman, for years, John Cena had this criticism that he was a goofy, over-the-top character. He was unstoppable. He was unlikable because he always tried to be so likable and he always tried to be so strong. And so the gimmick, the joke, the insider thing from all the fans was the only people that like John Cena are little kids and women. And that was the joke. And Cena's kind of worked his way out of that, and probably because of Total Divas maybe did something to kind of go out of that. But he got booed pretty good when he came out. I will at least say that. Roman is the same thing. They're trying to shove him down our throats, and nobody likes him. And not even a lot of the women like him. But the kids do. And that is important. The kids do like Roman Reigns a lot. And the reason why Roman... including my son here, who likes Roman Reigns. The reason why they shove Roman Reigns down our throats, and I agree, I don't like the guy. I don't think he's got a lot of charisma. I don't think he's a good wrestler. He's just a big, tall guy. He was better in the Shield when there was a group of three and they could cover up, some of his shortcomings better. And they really didn't talk that much. But the reason why he's being shoved down our throat is because he sells merchandise. I mean, honestly, most of the people going to see wrestling now are families. It's no longer the college dudes on, the weekend night going out and drinking the beer and hooping and hollering. You saw that a lot in WCW crowds. You saw that during the Attitude Era. Those guys are gone. It's not a lot of older people that grew up with it that are going to watch the live shows because they love live wrestling. Those type of people are going to indie shows. They're going to shows like, CIPW's Tactical Elite, which is coming to Kincaid, Illinois this Saturday. Be there at 7:00. I'll be backstage. But honestly, the groups that are going to wrestling shows now, WWE shows, I guess I should, say that. The groups going to WWE shows are families. It is parents taking their kids. I take my son. And what he wants is Roman Reigns and New Day and John Cena. That's what he likes. And that's fine. People are free to like whatever they want. And if they like it, more power to them. But that's why we get Roman Reigns shoved down our throat, because he does sell a lot of merchandise. And it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I can say I don't like it. I don't. But as much as I don't want to see him on the show because I don't think he's a good talent, he sells T-shirts. He sells action figures. Stuff with Roman Reigns makes money. And that's why he gets pushed so much. So we can whine and complain all that we want, but in the end, until people stop buying his stuff, until he stops being a consistent moneymaker for WWE, he's going to be the guy. And you just can't stop that. Now, Undertaker's retirement. Everything about this says it's Undertaker's retirement. He actually, after the match, Roman Reigns left. Undertaker, they didn't show him for a couple minutes because he got out of the ring, he put on his coat, he put on his hat, he dried himself off a little bit, so he looked a lot better. He got back in the ring, and Roman Reigns did all of his pyro and everything like that. They cut back to Undertaker standing there in his full gear, and Undertaker stands there, and he takes off a glove, sets it on the mat. Takes off the other glove, sets it on the mat. Takes off the coat, folds it up, sets it on the mat. Takes off the hat, does the eye roll thing, sets the hat down. He walks away, goes up the ramp, stands on his little platform, because again, he's not walking 80 yards out the stage. Gets on his little platform, does the one arm up in the air like he did in the American Badass days. And the platform, actually, it was kind of funny, because the platform was then supposed to lower, put the arm up. Nothing. Nothing. No. Oh, there it goes. And then the platform starts to lower. It was actually kind of humorous. You could tell that they were scrambling. There was some sort of problem on the bottom. They couldn't get it going, or I don't know what the deal was. But everything points to this being the end of Undertaker. Now, will he be on Raw tonight? Will he give some sort of goodbye? Will they do, you know, lightning bolt strike, and you see the urn sitting there, and it's like open with smoke coming out, and that's the end of the Undertaker? I don't know. Will Kane come out and say something for his brother? I don't know. But everything points to this being the last actual match that Undertaker is ever going to wrestle. And it's a shame that it's this one. I can understand he didn't want to retire after the one 2 years ago losing to Brock Lesnar because, you know, he got injured in that one. It wasn't a great match. Things went a little wrong. And he wanted to redeem himself, have one more good match. And so he did that last year. But then he came back again this year, and he had this match, and it's like I almost feel that there's a part of him inside going, crap, I should have done it last year, and he probably wants to do one more just so he has that good match to go out on, because this wasn't it. But I think we're looking at that's the end of The Undertaker. Everyone's playing it like that's the end. But the thing about wrestling is the end is never really the end. You know, you had a lot of guys, Ric Flair retired, and came back, and retired, and came back, and retired, and came back. Terry Funk, oh my gosh, this guy retires every Tuesday and comes back. And he comes back and wins championships for indie feds, you know. The guy's probably, how old is he, 72? And he's probably out wrestling a hardcore match right now with frozen turkeys on his hands they beat people with. You just, retirement doesn't really mean retirement in professional wrestling. I know. I retired from professional wrestling, and I came back. I was a manager. I wasn't a wrestler. You know, and people always say, oh man, the wrestlers will tell me that I was a wrestler, even though I was a manager. They're like, yeah, you're a wrestler. You're one of the guys. I always, you know, I'm always like, no. Don't look at this big fat guy and think that I was wearing trunks and, you know, rolling around trying to do 450s or anything like that. But I retired. And so I was asked to come back and I came back, and then I was done and I was retired. And I was asked to come back and I came back, and, you know, whatever. So the bug is always there. Because wrestling is performance. We know wrestling is not sport. It's active. It takes coordination. It's difficult. Not everybody can do it. But it's not sport in the way we think of football players or basketball players or baseball players. Even though it's scripted, you're not really, you know, hitting people like you really should. Although, I mean, there are legit fights that happen sometimes. Sometimes you get potatoed. You know, it's part of the business. But we know that it's not really what it portrays itself as. It is performance. It is art. I've always referred to it as the theater of the absurd. Is really what it is. And so there's always that piece of you that says, I'm done. I'm tired of the grind. I'm tired of the schedule. I'm tired of doing this, you know, every weekend. I'm tired of the travel. I just don't want to do it anymore. And then you're away from it for a while, and you kind of think, oh, man, it's so much fun, and you remember the good times. It's like an old girlfriend, you know? It's like you break up because she was awful to you, but then you remember, we had some fun, and then, you know, you get the itch to call her back. And that's what wrestling is. You just think, like, oh, I could do that again. That was fun. I could go do that some more. So, yes, Undertaker retired. Is this the last match he will ever wrestle? Probably not. Probably not. He'll probably be in a Royal Rumble a couple years down. He might be at next year's WrestleMania in some capacity. It might be 5 years before you see him come back, and he may come back randomly on an episode of Raw for the 200th episode or something. You know, who knows? I would like to think that he is of the caliber of self-control that he would say he's done and be done. That he would say, I'm retired and that's it. But the problem is you always have the money, right? Because you don't want to do it anymore. You're tired of it. You're hurt. You're old. You just want to be married and live a quiet life. And he's got money. I mean, he's not a guy who is bad with money. He didn't Ric Flair his cash. He's got a nice house. He's got a fat bank account. He is okay. But you'll always get that call. And someone that just wants to pay you more than you really think that you're worth. And you think to yourself, man, it's fun. I can make some cash. I can see the guys again. And you're going to go out and do it one more time. And like I said, I'd like to think that he won't and he'll stick to it. As much as I hate to see him retired, I'd like to see him, you know, own up to it and stick to it and stay retired. But I just don't think that's going to happen. So you'll see him. I don't think he's going to be back. You're not going to see him at SummerSlam during the rematch, but you'll probably see him come back in a couple of years. But I mean, you know, Shawn Michaels has done it. And Shawn Michaels has done it pretty well. Well, I mean, I guess technically, didn't he retire and then he came back as DX and then retired again? Maybe. So I guess you could throw that in there too. So, but he seems retired for now, but he found other things to do. So he's got the TV show on the Outdoor Channel and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he's, you know, doing movies now and whatever. So Shawn Michaels has other stuff going on that keeps him busy. So that may be why he's not doing wrestling, although he was at WrestleMania as part of the roundtable. So Undertaker, yeah, I think there's still another match in him somewhere down the line. Again, not this calendar year. A couple years down the line, you'll probably see him make an appearance, Royal Rumble, you know, surprise entrance or something. But nothing big. No more runs. No more championships. No more WrestleManias, as far as that type of stuff goes. So, all right, that's gonna do it for the show. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your tweets. Thanks for jumping in the chat room there. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed looking at Madballs. Remember, they're out there again. Finally, is at Toys R Us. They had the numbers on the pack. So if you buy some, let me know what the numbers are that are stamped into your foil pack. Maybe we can start a list going on some of that stuff. But again, thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.